want to bring out from that is that it only takes someone who understands that he's trusting in a sovereign God to know at that point be able to stand like Job did. If Job's faith was tied to those things that he lost, trust me, it would not take him a split second to just say, I curse this God, just like the wife had advised. It takes someone who has a why that is genuine and really, really solid to say that, oh yes, these things God gave to me. Oh yes, death on this part of eternity is painful. But this same Bible says that God is happy to receive the soul of a saint. It takes someone who thinks from that direction to be able to get consoled when he or she loses someone. It takes someone who knows that it is not in all these cars that God has given to me, it is not in all this wealth that God has given to me that my motive, that my why lies. And that is the only thing I can say that would have made Job to stand. If his why, if his motive, if his purpose of worshiping God was tied to his children, he would have denied God. Let's remember that it was not just his children that were taken away from him. Even his properties, everything went down. So imagine if his motive for serving God was tied to that. Is that not why we have a lot of people today who came from Christian homes, started from Christian homes, and they get, you know, faced with one or two, you know, challenges, and all of a sudden they are like, I don't know why this God would do this to me. I don't know why he would do this to me. I can't do this. And they just shift to the side of being an atheist or something else. It's a very hard, you know, stuff to chew, but that's just the truth. It's only when we get to that point where we understand that this is God, and this is the God that we serve. And I usually try to tell the kids that, see, do not let anybody deceive you. We can pray to God. Let us pray to God with faith and everything. But you will get to a point in life where you will pray to God for something, he might not answer you. At that point, you need to know that, remember that we have told you here that it doesn't mean that God is not God. God is still God. And then the simplest way we try to explain to them is that he can tell you a yes or a no or wait. But then I feel like even from childhood, we need to let these kids, as soon as they start getting consciousness of stuff, to know that, see, because you are going to church does not mean every single thing you ask will be granted. God still has a prerogative to make decisions, to say no. And you would not say because of that you would chicken out of faith. That is the kind of teaching that I feel like we should even, you know, impact in our children. Let them know, so they are not weaklings. May God help us in Jesus' name. Another person that I want us to look at, I didn't want to dwell on Job a lot because we are very, very familiar with the story. We are familiar with all the things that he went through, and I know that time over time here we've discussed it here. But I just want to point to three people or a few people in the Bible, and then I'll cite an example of someone in our present world that I feel like is a motivation, is an inspiration. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Genesis chapter 22. Okay, brother Femi is here. Praise God. He says, and he said, take now thy son. This is Abraham now, the case of Abraham. Thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Please go ahead. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went up unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eye and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here, ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Look at the word worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it up upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and then went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. Brethren, it only takes someone who trusts 101,000% to exercise the kind of act of worship that Abraham exercised here. I use the word worship because he said to his people that they would go and worship and return. Now, thinking about pondering over the scriptures, meditating over it, I was like, okay, two things. If it happened to any of us, we'd be like, but why would God be this wicked? There'll be a lot of questions that will flood our hearts. Another approach could be trying to negotiate with God to say, God, okay, leave my son, take me. Can I be a substitute for my son? I'm sure if Abraham did that, and we are reading that account in the Bible today, we'll be talking from that angle, right? We would not be dwelling so much on Abraham exercise. We'll be talking from the angle of Abraham was a great parent. He died for his son. He put himself forward for it. That's the angle we'll be talking about today. But then let's just focus. But what I want to bring out of this is this. The Bible says God told him, your only son. Now, if Abraham's faith, fine, the fact that the only son alone, it explains to us how much Abraham must have loved Isaac. He must, in short, maybe the perfect example is that you learn and profane. I feel like I don't learn our problem. They are bread and butter. Anybody that will come in between them, the person will try. Do you understand? In short, I don't want to say, Daddy, if you were Abraham in this time, what will you do? Will you go into the prayer room and just say, Oluwa, Femiko, Oluwa, Femiko? But I think that's like the best example I can cite here. Like, oh, you tell my husband that. Tishé, this one that Tishé is his all in all. Do you understand? My husband always says the devil speaking. Praise the Lord. But this is just bringing it home and trying to let us see how heavy what God demanded of Abraham. And imagine his faith and his motive for serving God was tied around Isaac. Trust me, he had an option of saying, hey, hello, excuse sir, on this note, I take a bow and just walk away from the faith. After all, there were a lot of idolaters in those days, and he would just identify with them and chicken out of it. But the truth is, whether we deny God or not, the problem will still be there. It doesn't stop God from still taking Isaac from him just like this. But that's another consideration. But what I want to say is that it takes someone whose motive is right. It takes someone who has gotten his why of serving God right to be able to exercise the kind of faith that he exercised. The Bible says that he took the knife. Abraham was not trying to deceive God by saying, let me carry him there. I know the God that I serve. She is my mommy. After a while, now she'll tell me to come back. She'll come and tell me sorry. Do you understand? If I beat him now, or I spank him or anything, when he's crying, he's looking at me because he knows that I will call him and still, pass him and try to tell him sorry. He wasn't acting with that intention that, oh, God will. He was ready to slay his own son. I don't know. Even that is one of the reasons why I'm trying to build my faith up to get to that level whereby I would be able to trust in the sovereignty of God. It's such a huge task. It's such a huge learning process. And we can only say as much, even I that I'm talking, we can only say as much until we get to that point where we know that, yes, this is it. This is what I have been talking about. Now it is night time for me to take, you know, to make a call and live by what I've been saying. But it takes someone who has the right motive of doing, of worshiping God. It takes someone who has gotten his why appropriate to exercise what Abraham did there. He took the knife and he was ready to slay. And then, what would have happened if God had not spoken to say, Abraham, stop? I believe Abraham would have done it. He would have done it. But then the point I'm trying to take out from here is that, like I said earlier on, if his reason for serving God was wrapped around Isaac, if his joy in the Lord was wrapped around Isaac, if he was worshiping God because of what God has done for him by giving him a son, and not because of who God is by himself, he wouldn't be able to exercise what he did here. May God help us in Jesus' name. May God help us in Jesus' name. You see, this Christian race, you know, most times we are very comfortable hearing, the Lord will bless you, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all we ever ask or think of, and all of that. But we also have to remember that there's this phrase called soldiers of Christ. And that's why we also need to learn the tough parts so that we can prep for the rainy day. May God help us. I wrote here that he trusted God blindly. You know, he worshipped God with all that he had. And he was ready to do, you know, carry out every instruction that God had given out to him. Because the scripture says he actually raised his hand. He took the knife and he was ready to slay his son. Then somebody might ask, but why would God even say that in the first place? This God that we said, why would he even say that he should go and kill his son? Remember we said earlier on, God is a sovereign God. He takes the final decision. But one thing that we know, that I have come to know, is that even when it seems inappropriate to us, you see, God's motive is right. He has a reason for it. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things, they are, you know, they are with God. He only lets us see the path that he wants us to see. And because of that, we can't understand some things. And that is the truth, that is the fact and the truth that we have to live with, whether we like it or not. If we call ourselves Christians, we cannot understand every of the why God does something. He is just God all by himself. It's, you know, it's painful, you know. But I want to cite this example. Do you know that there are some times growing up, you ask your parents for something, and you say, Daddy, why is this? And they'll just say that, you don't need to know, just do it. They won't give you the detail. You don't need to know. Those are earthly parents. So how much more God? God is saying that you don't need to know. I'll just do it. Just do what I say. I've got this. That's the same way it is. But in all of it, we have to remind ourselves that he still has our best interest at heart. That is the only way we can stand firm. May God help us. I think during the video, I talked extensively about Mary and Martha. Imagine someone that, people that Jesus Christ had gone to their house, you know, to share the word with them, to the point that, you know, they were so close to Jesus that Martha could say she wanted to cook for Jesus. It's only someone that, you know, there's a level of closeness that you say, you want to take time to cook for, you sit at the person's feet. Imagine Mary that she wiped, you know, Jesus' feet with her head. That's to show how much she had invested in worshiping God. And then they had an issue. I'm sure those times that Jesus was going to their house, of course he had met Lazarus. Of course he knew Lazarus. And then they sent him a word that Lazarus was ill. And he was dying. And Jesus said, no, he's not going. And, you know, we know the story, after 4 days, and by the time Martha and Mary got the information that Jesus was in town, remember, they were still mourning. But what did Martha do? We can see that in John chapter 11, verse 20, if we read all the way. John chapter 11, verse 20. We can read a couple of verses. As soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. If you go ahead, you would still see where, even in her speech to Jesus, she was still in reverence of who he is. I was saying during the video that how many of us would have someone as powerful as Jesus? You know that he can actually do it. You know that if he was there, Lazarus would not have died. You know that if he was there, that situation would have been totally different. But he chose not to come. And then 4 days after Lazarus had died, he was strolling in, so to say. How many of us will still have that act of worship to still bow at his knee? I'm sure majority, like if we take sense of, we'll be like, I don't want to see him. Get him out of here. I don't want to see him ever again. And then we'll start speaking all the English and start bringing, you know, talks about how unfriendly a friend he is and all of that. But then it takes us to the why. It takes someone whose why is right to be able to know that God did not show up in this situation. It doesn't mean he's not there. God did not show up in this situation. It doesn't mean he doesn't love me. God did not show up in this situation. He heard me, but he's a sovereign God. I just have to press on in faith. Like I said, that is the faith where we have found ourselves, Christianity. And that is why we cannot answer some questions. The earlier we start understanding that there are some questions we will not be able to answer, the better for us. And that's the gospel truth. I am learning that. And I'm trusting God to teach me more. So that when, you know, such cases come, maybe when I pray for a particular thing, like I said, it's not a matter of there's another sermon for trusting in God, exercising your faith and all of that. But I'm learning to know that I'm exercising my faith in a sovereign God. And he has the prerogative that when I ask something, even when I'm exercising my faith, he can say no. And there is nobody that can question him. And I need to appreciate him that one of the reasons why he is God, and one of the reasons why he is a sovereign God, is because he can say no when he wishes. But then, should that make my faith waver? No. We press on. We move on because we are soldiers of Christ. May God help us. It's a tough one because, you know, you are trying to look at exercising faith here and then God saying no here for no reason that you can understand. It is God. If not, who can answer why God would do all that will happen to Job? Nobody. May God help us. So I was listening to, I don't know if any of us know Dr. Tony Evans. Yeah, Priscilla Scherer's dad. I really, really love that family. I love families that, you know, you can see the fruit of their, you know, hard work, of their service in the children. It's so encouraging. And reading about what they've been through in the last couple of years, like 2-3 years, I noticed that they started with, you know, I was listening to the man talk. He lost his brother maybe 2 years ago. Afterwards, he lost his niece that belonged to another brother. And this is a pastor of a church. The niece was even a member of the church. And then his wife was diagnosed of cancer, which they battled for like 18 to 19 months or thereabouts, which they eventually lost that, I think, the earlier part of this year, or maybe late December or something. And then the daughter was also diagnosed of lung cancer, that there's something there. Not just one daughter. There's another one that is undergoing, and I'm like, and this man will still come to the altar. They held a session in their church, and they were asking him questions, and he said, they asked him that, how have you been able to hold forth? How have you been able to? He said, because I believe what I preach. He said, I have come to a place to understand that God is sovereign. I have come to a place of my faith where I know that the kind of God that I serve is the type that, though death might be painful on this side, But the same scripture says that God is happy when he wins, like, the soul of a saint. So that's so, our interpretation of things is quite different from how God sees it. And that's why we would not be able to understand some of the things that happen. You know, he said a lot of things that really, you know, touched me. And those are the kind of people I like to listen to, especially in trying to build your faith, trying to stand in the midst of the storm, trying to stand even when every other thing is speaking contrary to what you believe in. I believe he's been through a lot, and it's someone in our present day that I will say that, why are all these things? Like, all his children are in the faith. All his children, they are doing pretty, like, I literally followed them on Instagram. I was proud of how well they are carrying the banner of Jesus. And then you wonder, why would all of these things happen to one man? I read about him, I read about his father. His father died at about 90-something years old. And up to the point that he died, his father was still professing Jesus. He was still playing the instrument. He said one of the things that is making him happy, that going home now to him, is that even his great-great-great-grandchildren are all rooted in the faith. And he also said something about, it will not always be rosy. It will not always be, like, beautiful, like we all like to hear it all the time. But the truth is that we need to get, once we understand and we believe what we preach, and we get our motive for worshiping God right. And that is why that song, "Because of Who You Are, I Give You Glory," you know, in this season of my life, in this time that I'm trying to learn and teach myself about this, I've been singing it over and over again. I don't want my act of worship to be tied to what God has done for me. I don't want my act of worship to be tied to the fact that God gave me Tishe, to be tied to the fact that, oh, I'm doing well in this, I'm doing well in that. Because what then happens if those things are taken away from you? What if God decides that I'm the Job of this generation? Will I be able to stand? So, you know, as children of God, as workers, this might not be a topic that would sit down well with maybe the general crowd. Maybe because the level of, you know, their faith or their understanding of scripture is not up to that point. But if we call ourselves workers, if we call ourselves children of God, you know, we need to get to a point whereby we believe in the sovereignty of God. And we are able to trust him, even when every other thing is speaking contrary to, you know, what we expect. That's what I'm trying to. I don't know, it might be hard for anybody to chew, it might be hard for someone to come to them, but that is where I want to be. That is the place I want to be. That is the height I want to achieve, and I'm trusting God for it. That it might be hard, but then when it comes, help me to remember what I've said today. Help me to remember that indeed you are sovereign, and there is nothing I can do about it. I can only move on to trust you. May God help us in Jesus' name. I jotted down a few points here. I said that, I think I mentioned this before, there is danger in attaching our respect and our love for God to the things he has done for us. There is danger in that. It's good to appreciate God. Please don't get me wrong. But I want to believe that, going by what I've said earlier from the beginning, we understand the perspective I'm coming from. God is God, whichever way life deals with us. If God decides to go this way today with us today, if we decide to opt out, it doesn't change the fact that he's God. The person losing is the person living. God is still God all by himself. And so when we are singing that song, "You are God all by yourself," let us know that he's indeed God all by himself. Storms can be life-threatening, but it's always to take us to a deeper, you know, level with God, to have a better understanding of God. If we feed ourselves with these things, with these words, to know that, you know, God is still God in the midst of the storm, it will help us to go through whatever, you know, challenges we are going through at any point in life. Let us live in the light of the promise and not in the light of the problem. Let us live in the light of the promise of God for our lives, which is that ultimately all will be well. Let us be careful not to allow the problems to override his presence. Even sometimes when it feels like God is silent, trust me, God is there. When they were in the middle of the storm, and Jesus Christ was sleeping, and they had to go meet him, that do you even care about us? Jesus Christ was right there when the storm was, you know, waging and all of that. He was right there. The same way when we are faced with stuff, it might seem like he's not there. But the truth is that he's right there in the midst of it. But we just need to trust him. We need to trust him. I feel like the Christian faith is trusting God blindly. That is the best way I can put it. In as much as you are sure that you are rooted in the faith, and even things come at you, just trust God blindly. That was what Abraham did. And that was what earned him that title of being the father of all nations. May God help us. I said this earlier on, we have to believe in the sovereignty of God. We have to believe in what we preach. We should not be the ones to chicken out. We should be the ones to be able to explain to people, like non-unbelievers, when they ask us that, you call yourself a Christian, why would God do that to Job? We have to remember that God is sovereign. The God we serve is a sovereign God. We need to be able to, we should not be the ones to be, you know, we should be able to just let them. They might not be able to understand, but that is just the truth. It doesn't change God. I think I talked about this before, that the journey of a Christian faith is like you are believing God for the miraculous, and you are also believing the sovereignty of God. That's just how I see it. I pray that God will empower us. He would teach us. He would form us to a point whereby we will not be bothered about things that happen to us. Our focus will just be this God. Because ultimately, that is what is going to pay off for us. It's not an easy journey. But with the grace of God, we will stand. That is my utmost prayer. The grace to stand. The grace to be upright. The grace not to just be a Christian when everything is moving. But the grace to still be able to profess his name. The same Dr. Tony Evans was saying that when they lost his cousin, or his niece rather, she was 38 years old. She had 4 kids. She was fine, an active member of the church. And then the husband called him. They went to the hospital. The husband was crying. He was literally crying. And he said in the midst of it, he started praising God. That touched me. Because at that point, all you have in your heart is questions. She wasn't sick. She was fine. She was meant to have like a dinner the next day, or maybe hang out with Priscilla's children the next day or something. She was totally fine. And then she just stopped breathing. They rushed her to the hospital, and then they declared her dead and all of that. So you can imagine how unexpected that would have hit. It would have hit the husband. But the man said he was praising God. He was worshiping God. Yes, he was crying. But it takes someone who trusts God in the midst of it all to be able to exercise that grief in praise. That's how I choose to call it. He exercised his grief, his emotions in praise. May God help us in Jesus' name. We don't pray for bad things to happen to us. We don't pray for evil things to happen to us. But then, it is only, wisdom is profitable, and it is only wise of us, you know, to plan for the rainy days. It's just like when you make investments, it's like when you make investments for the future. That's the same way I see this, making investments in our spiritual life, in our faith. May God help us. I just want to throw this to the house as I wrap up. How do we build confident faith? How do we build our faith when it looks like past events are not encouraging? When I say that, I mean like you've had like some disappointments in the past, and then you still have to build your faith. How do you stand firm? For someone like the man that I cited, and Dr. Evans, for instance, who has experienced loss on all sides. Even his kids are still, you know, being treated. Of course, they already checked, and I think they said it was not a big deal and all of that. But looking at someone that has been so firm in the faith for years, I think this man, I've been watching him on TBN or maybe CBN back in Nigeria, that you know, his ministry and all of that. And yet, at some point, they are faced with some challenges. How then do you trust God and hold fast to that faith in the midst of it all? So it's just a question to encourage ourselves. It's a question, because as brethren in faith, one of the reasons for Bible study, one of the reasons for fellowshipping together is to encourage ourselves, build ourselves up. So how do we as individuals think that, oh, this can help us stand in faith, this can help us stand through it all? Let's share, please. Sister Fire, okay.
Praise the Lord. I want to say the answer to your question, I would say, is not an easy answer. It's a very hard one. Faith, or practicing or exercising faith, is not something, you know, you would expect it to be easy, but it's not. I would say in the last, even the last few weeks or month, I can say my faith has been tested in many ways, where to me, you know, you get wrapped up in what's going on with you and how you feel about it and how you're praying about it and how it's not happening. And you're like, oh, you know, I even heard myself one time, I was talking to one of my colleagues at work, and I kind of just went on. And I was like, wait a second, what am I doing? I'm just going on and on about this. Like, why am I even doing this? Why am I even allowing myself to indulge in this problem? Why don't I just turn my outlook around? And when situations like that, I honestly feel the only thing as we can do as Christian is to just go back to the Word of God. Start looking for those verses, those points that, you know, we can use to profess our faith, that we can use to reassure ourselves, that we can use to redirect ourselves. And for me, sometimes what I even do is I even go, because to me, music is my heart, music is my soul, music is how I connect with God. So I will go back to music. I know, you know, one of those mornings I walked into work and I was listening to, I usually listen to songs in the morning, sorry, choir. They always get my song list. Every song I wake up listening to, I send it to the whole group. So I was listening to a song, and when I walk in, because I was just so wrapped up in my issue at the moment, and, you know, I've made this habit of when I walk in now, before I used to like put on an earphone and hide what I'm listening to. Now I play it, but I lower it, and I let my coworker kind of sort of hear what I'm listening to. Because to me, I feel like somebody's going to ask me something eventually. So that same day, I was playing something, and one of them just walked towards me and said, do you know this song, Even If? I was like, I think so. What are you talking about? And in that moment, she doesn't know, but what she did for me in that moment is that God used her to bring a song to mind that in a way was speaking to me about what I was worrying about. Because that song, Even If, says, I know you're able, I know that you can. To save through the fire with your mighty hands. But even if you don't, my hope in you alone. And it says, you know, you've been faithful, you've been good all of my days. Jesus, I cling to you, come what may, because I know you're able, I know you can. So it's like, in a way, I'm like, it was redirecting me to say, you know, no matter, even if I don't do what you want me to do, you still need to put your hope back in God. So to me, songs like that redirect me. And, you know, in my daily activities, so today, my daughter tried a volleyball trial for the last 2 days. I came home, she was very sad. I'm like, what's wrong? Why are you sad? She's like, oh, I'm worried, I'm not getting. I was like, don't you know the kind of God you serve? Why are you even letting this happen? I was like, don't worry, God is going to do it. But then instantaneously, I'm like, But you also need to tell her that in case it doesn't happen and you don't get picked, you still need to accept and know that it is the will of God. There's a reason why God will or will not let you be in that tryout or get picked for that team if he doesn't need you to be there at that given time. So I needed to not only prepare her to believe in the kind of God she served, but I also needed to prepare her to know that if God doesn't even do what you really, really want to do, even though I'm telling you to go talk to him and tell him what you want, I still need her to know that her faith needs to be strong enough to handle that. So that's how I handle it. I hope I answered the question. With my many examples.
Yes, yes, yes. Brother Deji. Okay.
Praise the Lord. So my question is with regards to those who are not in faith. So, let me just put it like that. Those who are not in faith, some ask the question, if God is good, why does it permit evil? And some people, I don't know how best to explain that to them, because they feel like, if you serve God and do all of this, then everything has to be rosy and good. And again, when you try to explain that, even though sometimes you have some expectation and pray about it and it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean that it's not God, it's still God. But there is a real challenge when you speak with people who really are not of same faith with you, or people call themselves religious and agnostic. They don't believe there is God, and they believe there is God. So much so that there is this guy who was like, if there is some man up there, he says like, but his question was like, he asked God for something and God didn't do it. But I was just trying to tell him the other day, like, that doesn't change him from being God. Like, there's some questions we can never answer. So my question to the house is, for people who do not share our faith, and for those who do not share our faith but still doesn't believe in the supremacy of God, who is supreme over all things, like, how do we get them to understand that he does what he wants at his own will? So he decides to give us and decides not to give us. So how do we get this across, please?
Well, my contribution to what the question is asked is that, so that's a mistake we Christians make. And the mistake is that we think that we are the one that is supposed to do this. No matter the talk we talk from Genesis to Revelation, if it's not given unto them to have the understanding, you just keep saying it and they will not get it. That is just it. It is not our place to have them. They cannot understand with our own. If God gives you the grace to be able to minister to them for them to understand, they will understand. But no matter what you say to them, if the Spirit of God doesn't minister it to them, even though they don't have our own faith, you just be blabbing there and they will not understand. So God, that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep telling people, just say it and move on. But when we say things, we kill ourselves there and we begin to impress it at the most. It is not our place to say, and they might not get it. Because it's not given to everybody to own. Even Jesus Christ said, I'm teaching you this. Some of people, they will not understand, but it is given to some to understand. And it is the Spirit of God that gives understanding, not us. Not the grammar or the way you construct it or the way we... No, it is not us. So let us get that. God gives them the grace they will understand. I don't know if I've answered that. I mean, my own contribution to what you've shared tonight is that I thank you. I think this is one thing, you know, the Spirit of God has been ministering to me of recent times. That, you know, as a church, as a body, we are part of the problem of the world. Why do I say that? There's so many ministration that we speak on the pulpit. And actually, you know, we need to ask ourselves, most of the preachers, the people that preach the word of God, is God really asking us to speak? I mean, yes, God wants us to speak on prosperity, but there's some core things. There's some nitty-gritty things. There's some fundamental things that we are not sharing in the house of God. And that is why we have believers and Christians struggling with their faith. We have so much pumped them up with, yes, God can do it, no matter what. Oh, God is a good God. God is not a wicked God. We don't go back to the God of Genesis. We say that God doesn't exist. Because God does not come and strike down. Boom, now, we don't preach about that, but it is real. It don't. Who is God? Your Bible say, "I want married your by late to marry." See, this God, I'm speaking. See, it's like the Holy Spirit is just. I mean, for a couple of weeks now, just ministry to that. We as ministers, we need to be mindful of what we are teaching the flocks, like what you've shared with us tonight. People don't want to hear it, but it's the reality of it. Life is not a bed of roses. Things will happen. The things that we don't like, the things that we like, the unexpected thing. If you look at what everything in the Bible, God used the things that we love most. Look at the story of Abraham. He said, the son that you love. Look at the story of Jacob. He said, Job said, the thing I feared most has come upon me. So God will not use anything that you don't value. God will can use something that you so much value and take it from you. But then what would you? It does happen. It does happen. But then what? Would that now make you lose faith? No. 2-3 weeks ago, I had like an experience that I felt like I see the ground should open up and just swallow me. But then, that is why in our times of our happy, let me use the word happy season. What are we using that time for? You know, that happy season when things are rosy, that's the time we sometimes don't remember to study the word of God. Pray more, because everything is rosy. We think that it is when things are very tough that we begin. But those times, those happy rosy times, those are the times that we need to cultivate the ground. And so that when those stormy situations come, you can have something to fall on. If not for the grace of God, and like Sister Fire Kese, the song, I didn't know that thing was coming until I received, before I received, "You are too faithful to fail." That song helped me throughout the thing. So we need to first and foremost, know. Let us stop deceiving ourselves. Things will happen. But then, God does not allow it just to happen for happening's sake. Everything that God does, good, bad, it has a reason. If we want to grow, let us face the reality. If we want to grow as ministers, as children of God, we are going to encounter some sad moments, because those are the things that you will stand and use to share to people that will build up the faith of people. What do you want to share with people? How do you want to comfort someone that you yourself, you've not even been, what will you say? What you professor? What do you want to say? They say, "Don't mind, he's just preaching. He doesn't even, has he gone through it?" So God, see, depending on the ministry that God is taking you, there are some things that he would allow to happen so that you can be effective in that lane, in that ministry that he has called you to. I pray that God Almighty would help us. We look at Daddy Gio, all the stories that he shared. Most of his preaching, it's the same verse. Most of the verse that we've read. But when Daddy Gio speaks, he uses his life experience. I hope he uses all the life, all his encounter to minister. And he gets to people, because people can identify with it. These are things that is happening to them. But if we are just speaking grammar and just preaching the word and not, we can't be effective. So as Christians, if we want to grow in ministry, if we want to grow spiritually, we have to go through this thing so that it will strengthen us and make us to be, it will build up our faith. God will help us. God will help us.
Rugged Christians. Okay, I think Barshala wants to say something. Yes. Two minutes. I want to enter for the prize for this year.
It's too late. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I don't know where to start, because I came late, so I kind of met the message in the middle. But I'll just briefly comment on two things. First is that God loves us. And whatever thing that happens to us, good or bad, is because God loves us. And so we shouldn't, while we are balancing on one hand the sovereignty of God, we should still understand that God is love. And the relationship between God and man is a relationship of love. Everything is based on love. God is sovereign. If he didn't want to have that love relationship with us, he would have created us like the angels. No emotion, no feelings, just robots doing the will of God 24/7. And, you know, that's what angels do. They just do the will of God. They don't have any other will, except for devil and his angels anyway. So God created us with that love, out of that love relationship, to have fellowship with him. And somehow man got deviated. I won't go down that lane. So I just want us to carry that bit of it in our mind. And on the flip side, while we're also listening to the message, is that God wants us to believe in him, trust in him, but not be resigned. So there is that bit of us that, that's not part of the Christian faith. Well, I don't believe that that is part of the Christian faith. So it is a God, this happened out of God's love for me because it is an ultimate plan, not out of, oh, I've accepted my destiny. Because if that is what we do, then we are no different from some other people who believe in this kadara, what it was, the kadara that you bring from heaven, that's the kadara that you carry to heaven. We are not different from those folks, right? So we need to understand that it's out of the love of God. God's love for Abraham was so tremendous. It showed in the relationship that God had with Abraham. And Abraham reciprocated that love to God. It was the love that God had for Abraham that God made to choose Abraham out of his whole kindred. There were so many other people that were of the house of Abraham, and God chose Abraham. Right? So it is that love relationship that existed between God and Abraham. And despite the mistakes of Abraham, Abraham didn't trust God enough at some point. He even went to listen to his wife. So God is not, how do I put it without sounding like I don't have faith? So God wants us to believe in him. God wants us to trust in him. And that's his expectation of us. It won't be a perfect relationship. We would go through those times when the faith is actually failing, when we don't acknowledge that he is there. Like the disciples were always with Jesus. Jesus decided to go and take a sleep in the bottom of the boat, and the storm was raging. Somebody that is always with you, you just all of a sudden felt like he wasn't there. And then you now have to go and wake him up and say, are you not here? Do you want us to die? So he was supposed, the expectation is that we are thinking about it in retrospect now because we are reading it in the Bible. But we are facing those similar situations as well, where in the spur of the moment, our impulse, our natural reaction is to think that God is not there. So we vent. Those times will actually come because we are human. But then the next reaction should be, okay, God is there. We should always be quick to find our way back. Let's not fall into that hole of despair. And then, this is the destiny that my life has chosen. So, because if we go down that path, we end up, that's where we then become like the unbelievers who believe that time and chance happens to everybody. No, we are Christians. That's why he called us. We are chosen. Now, that doesn't mean that things will not happen as a chosen person. But there's an understanding that if that thing happens, it didn't happen because God does not love you or because you are resigned to a particular fate. Fate, F-A-T-E now, is because God loves you, and this thing happening is a part of a grand plan that God wants to happen. That grand plan might not necessarily be achieved through you, but God has a role that you have to play in that plan. And it took a while for me to understand this. My mom's faith was a lot more stronger than my dad. As in, this is what I witnessed growing up. My mom was the one, we practically lost my brother in 1994. As in, the doctors had already declared him dead. My mom had just been a Christian for like 5 years. And she just said, Baba Shui, Ele Yoliku. As in, and they started praying. And he came back to life. As in, she was that. My father was already crying. He was already carrying his hand on his head. He was already crying in the hospital. But my mom said no. That this was not the one that is going to die. Now, my mom got sick. And I prayed. Then I was even serving in the fellowship. I was serving with all my heart. I was telling God, if you can do this thing. If you do this thing, I will serve you for the rest of my life. I made all sort of vow. But she died. She died at a time when nobody expected that she was going to die. She died. Now, is that what God wanted for her to happen? Maybe not. Maybe there's a bit of it that we could have done something else that he wanted us to do, but we just didn't have the, enlightenment or the spiritual eye to see that this is what he wanted us to do at the time. So many questions, like you said, God is sovereign. So many questions that we may not be able to answer. But ultimately, above all of that, it took a while for me to understand that God still allowed that to happen because he loves me and he understands why I needed to go through that process. Now, has that helped me to grow my faith now? Yes, even though I prayed and I did not get the answer. Praise God.
So let me just say something to that. So you were not here when we started. I totally get your point, which is the fact that we are Christians and should not just resign to faith and all of that. To faith, F-A-T-E, right? But at the beginning, I said something. I said, my topic today or the discourse today is not, I'm not dwelling on faith. I'm not dwelling on, I totally believe in the love of God. And like you said, it's in the, whatever happens to us is because the name of God has to be glorified. It's something of a bigger picture, like you said. But my aim for this study today is not that angle. My aim for this study today is, it is what it is the fact that we need to build our faith for those stormy situations, and that's it. But of course, there is a, we are, of course, definitely, we cannot be here if God does not love us. We cannot be here if we have all the scriptures that we can use at any point in our lives. But my purpose for today, I think I'm focusing on being a rugged Christian. I think that's the main thing, but I totally agree with everything that you said. So thank you. Ah, Pastor, do we have time? Pastor, what are you? 1 minute. Daddy, sir, 1 minute.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I just want to chip in. I just want to chip in this. You talked about when we are in trouble, we tend to, you know, fidget, and we lose that trust in God, some of us. I mean, we get to a stage now, you are not even thinking, you are thinking about the problem. You are not thinking about, you are not focusing. A very good example in the Bible is Elijah. Elijah. You remember when Elijah took off from Jezebel? And he went into hiding. 3 times, God came there. Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And after that, you know, I've been doing this for you. I've been doing that. I am a so-so-so-so. I am a so-so-so-so. He was just complaining all through, which happened to a lot of us. When things come, instead of us to go, I trust you. You are the one who called me. Give me what to do. But Elijah was saying that I'm the only prophet. All the other prophets, they gone. But then when you look at it at that point, what Elijah would have done, he didn't do it. He just went talking. Until God said that, okay, anoint so person to take over. Anoint this. Because he said we want to die. Don't let us ask for anything. When problem come, lay down. Lord, I put it in your hand. Many people will say, this thing. You just have to do that. Praise the name of the Lord.
So you ask us a question at the beginning. Why do we serve God? So I think it is important that, I think the presentation when we started as a Christian, the way people present Christianity to us is like everything will be rosy. Like when I first joined, one of the reasons that pushed me to the Christianity is that I was trying to get a visa to the U.S. Then the way my mom presented, once you start serving God, it will just come. So I started serving God. Then she told us to fast, so we were fasting. We went to the embassy. We didn't get the visa. So after, like, it was like 12 o'clock. So I didn't know we still have to fast till 6. But we didn't get the visa already, so I saw bread and beans on the way. May I just... I just said, like, I have to, we are fasting to get this thing. We didn't get it. So I think the presentation, sometimes they will say, give, it shall be given. Sometimes we always think when we give, we're going to receive immediately. So I think people should know that it's not magic. God is not like a magician.
Yes.
So it could take time. But when someone gives today, give tomorrow, give next week, nothing comes. He just said, this one, I think I have to stop. So I think the presentation is
I totally agree with you. And I think that is why, as parents, we need to help our children understand this. So that when they are alone, they will not chicken out. It's very, very important. You know, sometimes it sounds as if we are preaching faith and we are preaching unbelief, but it is just what it is. May God help us. Ah, Pastor, should mommy pastor talk, sir? He cannot say no, that is you. It's you.
Sorry, sir. But I'm happy my wife is repenting. She's part of the problem. She is. Because me, she will say, it's me, Pastor. Hey, wife, God bless her. I love my wife today. She's a planner. Today, children must go to Kalahari. So I said, which Kalahari? They will say, which Kalahari are we going? Eh? It's not true. That's why sometimes I padlock my mouth so that the children will say, Daddy, you are the alatako, mommy. But I am happy that bit by bit, God is helping her to repent. I understand where I'm coming from. I'm just trying to add to what my brother said. I think the Lord will help us. And we had a situation in one of our churches. They had a guest minister that preached and said, by this time, next week, this thing you are believing God for, what happened? What I'm telling you, brother, is not a joke. A woman was in that church, went to empty all her account. I'm telling you, I won't mention the name, but it's in Chicago. The woman went to empty the whole $35,000 in her account. and brought it to the church because she clear into what that man said. And then they that week came. First they went. Second they went. Third they went. Daddy, 1 month care. The following week, when it did not happen, she did not show up in the church. You know what happened? A letter came from the lawyer to the church that the church is preaching false doctrine. That how do you come and say by this time this will happen? And you told us to empty all our accounts, that we should key to, and I keyed to it. I gave all my money, and that thing did not happen. He said, right now, they must return his entire money back to him. At the end of the day, the church returned the money. The message got to Daddy Gio, and Daddy now told Chairman to write all of us. Daddy said, this is why I keep telling you. All these men you go and bring from nowhere. They come and they lie. The anointing they have is not even working. They are not raising dead people. They are coming to make people do things. And then when you people get into trouble, Chairman is shaking. They are writing me. I have warned you guys. Be careful who you bring. And even if a man is decrying such a thing, you need to also let people be reminded that this thing I'm saying, it does not mean that it's going to happen to everybody. But you see what you're saying. So at the end of the day, sir, that money had to be returned to that woman. What I'm telling you, sir, almost caused a lot of commotion in the church. So, like our sister said, sir, without a doubt, sir, God will help us. The reality is there, sir. We are going to face it. And no matter what we face, does not mean that God is not God. He will continue to be God. Whether it works the way we want it, whether it works the way we don't want it. Somebody asked Pastor Ashimolowo, he said that, how come when we demand for something, it doesn't happen? He said, I can't answer you because I'm not God. I can't answer you. All I know is that if God believes that you deserve it, he will give it to you. And if he doesn't give it to you, so what? Life goes on. Said, I was begging God at the time. He gave the person, he said, I was begging God at the time that I've come to a level where me too, I should be driving a Range Rover. And I pray. He said, guess what? When they will bless me, they brought Passat. I said, ah, God, he said, Passat. He said, does it change God? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Praise God. I want Pastor, with your permission, if it's possible that we can be having like a part one, part two, part three of a particular Bible study message. Because sometimes we end up having messages that it seems like we didn't finish it. And then by the next Tuesday, we are jumping to another message. And we just like we scratch something on the surface. We don't really dig deep. Because this discussion today now would spoil a lot of us to go back and delve into our Bibles, you know, do a bit more research. So by next week, Tuesday, praise God. So it's actually been on my mind for a while that we should actually an alternative. We'll talk about it. We can talk about it after the Bible study. Praise God. Let's rise up to our feet as we pray. Let's stretch forth our hands to the woman of God that God has used to bless us tonight, that the Lord would lay his hand of power upon her, that he will replenish her for every virtue that has gone out of her, that the Lord will continue to